Starting.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your strength you have placed within us to enable us overcome sin and all the works of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for all the mighty things your hand has done in our lives. We thank you for the answers we have received for our prayers. Thank you for your great mercy that is upon us. Thank you for healings we have received through your mercy. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for how you have been using this program to set people free from captivities of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for how you have been walking through these healing streams to liberate people from the bondage of sicknesses and diseases. Thank you for your open heaven over this meeting. Even right now, thank you, Lord, for your open heaven. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you because you have given us your name, the name of Jesus, by which we get freedom, transformation, breakthroughs, and victories. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord, we have come together once again at your feet to learn and also to pray, trusting in your power that everything we ask in the name of Jesus today shall be released. Oh Lord, show us mercy. Look upon us in your mercy and touch every life. Help every life. Bless every life and transform every life in Jesus' name. Thank you for that because we know you will do more than our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And as you know, we are going to do a brief teaching before we go into prayers. Healing prayers, deliverance prayers. This morning I would be sharing with you on a topic titled Meet the Restorer. Meet the Restorer. Like the way you meet someone. Meet the Restorer. I am introducing to you the Restorer. And who is this restorer? Is Jesus. Is Jesus. You need to understand that divine healing has a lot to do with the restoration. It has a lot to do with restoration. Because from the beginning of time, or since the beginning of creation, everything God created was good. Everything God created was good. The plants, the animals, everything, including we humans. When God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect. Perfect in health, perfect in wellness. Yeah, all the organs in their bodies were perfect. No sickness, no disease. Everything was good and perfect. So that was the state of things in the beginning. Yeah, so Jesus has come so that he can restore us humans to the way we were from the beginning, to the way we are supposed to be. Yeah, Jesus has come to restore all the organs in our bodies, to restore our soul, to restore our spirit, to the way they are supposed to be, and to make them function the way they were created to function. And that is divine healing. And that is divine healing. Restoring us to who we were before sin came. Yeah, restoring our body, the functions of our body, the health of our body to the way it was from the beginning. That is divine healing. Yeah, so that was why I said that the title of the teaching is Meet the Restorer. And Jesus is the Restorer. Now, we're going to look at some points before we pray. The first point is how we were before the fall. How we were before the fall. That is, before Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. How we were, how was our body as at that time? How was our soul? What was the state of our body, our bodies, our souls, and our spirits? How we were before the fall. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 2, 16 to 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. So man was alive before he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the state of our bodies, souls, and spirits before we fell in the Garden of Eden. Because the moment Adam and Eve fell, we also fell at the same time. Because we were inside of Adam. We were all inside of Adam and Eve while they were sinning against God in the Garden of Eden. So the moment they fell, we, their offsprings, we also fell at the same time. So God told them not to eat from that tree. He said, the day they eat from the tree, they shall surely die. They shall surely die. So they were alive before they had that tree. And what was keeping them alive was eternal life. It was eternal life that was keeping them alive. Even though they did not have the full dose of that eternal life as at that time, because they have not eaten from the tree of life. But the measure of life that was in them at that time was keeping them in perfect health, and they were free. There was no bondage. There was no darkness. I mean, they were not bound by anything. They were not bound by darkness. They were not bound by demons, because they were alive. But something happened. The moment they heard from that tree, they died. They died. And we know what that death means. They lost the eternal life that was keeping them in health. They lost the eternal life. They lost the eternal life. Even though Adam lived after that time, I think Adam lived like 900 and something years. I think he lived 990 years before he now physically died. But the moment they ate from that tree, they died spiritually. And that was the, you know, it was from that time death entered into the earth. It was from that time death began to destroy human beings. It was from that time humans begin to die. So which means that we were not created to die. created to live forever. From the beginning, God never had a plan that we would die. Now, we have sicknesses and diseases because of death that came through Adam in the Garden of Eden. Sicknesses and diseases, they are praise the Lord. The network was disconnected. Yeah, as I was saying, I said sicknesses and diseases are agents of death. Yeah, you can see. You can see it as death being their master, and they are working for death. They are working for the spirit of death. Sicknesses, diseases, they are all agents of death. So from the time Adam lost the eternal life, which was the time he had from the fruit, that was when death entered into the earth. That was when death was birthed. Death was given birth to at that moment. Because God already told them that the day you eat from this tree, you shall die. So from the day they ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was when death came into existence. And that was also when sicknesses and diseases and weaknesses, that was when they were given birth to. Before that time, there was nothing like sickness. There was nothing like disease or weakness or deformities. Yeah, so we were not created to be weak. Man was not created to be weak. By weakness, I mean you getting tired. You were not created to even get tired. Yeah, you were not created to fall sick. You were not created to die. But because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, all these things came upon us. Yeah, so that is on the first point. For those of you that newly joined, the first point was how we were before the fall. The The scripture verse there is Genesis chapter 2. The scripture verses, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. So now let's move to the second point, which is health is greater than healing. Health is greater than healing. Health is greater than healing. I used to think that every time we have prayer meetings, before now, I used to think that every time we have prayer meetings, every time Christians gather together to pray, that there must be healing miracles. Yes, the power of God should move and heal people of their sicknesses and diseases. But later God opened my eyes and began to show me that there is something greater than healing. He began to show me that there is something greater than healing, and that Christians should seek for that which is greater than healing. Meaning that there's a realm that is greater than healing. And that is health. Health is greater than healing. Because I've seen some pastors that they are still at the level of healing. Oh, let God heal the sick. Even they are still falling sick and saying, oh God, heal me. Heal me. Let God heal sick people. I want to pray for sick people so that they will be healed. I'm not saying that God is not going to heal us or he does not want to heal us. But God wants to give us something greater and better than healing. And that is health. You not falling sick is greater than you falling sick and then getting healed. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You not falling sick at all, that is, you don't fall sick at all, in the kingdom of God is greater than you falling sick and then getting healed again. And I realize that many Christians, they just want to fall sick and then get healed. They want to fall sick and get healed. That is wrong. Don't let that be your mindset. God wants to take you to the point where you don't seek at all. You don't seek at all. That is the plan of God for your life. Not, if I fall sick now, let me just join the prayer meeting. Let me join the prayer program and then I'll be healed. Remove that from your brain, from your mind. That is not the plan of Jesus for you. The plan of God is to make you not to fall sick at all. I also remember some time ago when the Lord was telling me about his calling upon my life, when he said he has called me to be an apostle. He has called me to be an apostle. So I was like, well, I don't think I am an apostle. I was telling God that I don't think I'm an apostle because there are some signs that I know should follow the calling of an apostle. There are some signs and wonders, and anyone that calls himself an apostle should have performed. And I told him that I have not performed any of those signs and wonders, so I don't think I deserve to be called an apostle. And he was asking me that, can I tell him? I mean, the Lord was asking me to tell him any of those signs. Praise the Lord. Saying in that encounter with the Lord, he was telling me that, okay, can you tell me those signs that you said you have not yet performed? Can you mention them, since you said until you have performed those signs, or until I have used you to perform those signs and wonders and miracles, you don't deserve to be called an apostle. So I was telling him a lot of those signs. Particularly, I mentioned about raising the dead. Yeah, I remember I mentioned about that one, that I don't think I have raised the dead back to life. Whereas I believe apostles are people who have raised the dead. They have brought the dead people back to life. So he just looked at me and he looked at me like someone that don't have understanding. And then he said something. He said, in the kingdom of God, anyone that is able to stop death is greater than anyone that brings dead people back to life. Yeah, he said if you're able to stop people from dying, you are greater than bringing people that have already died back to life. Yeah, so he was now telling me that, do you know that many people that have been following your programs, your prayer sessions. He was telling me that, do you know that during most of those prayer sessions, you have been able to stop many of them from dying untimely? That much of the prayers you have prayed for people have stopped many of them from dying untimely. So he said, in my kingdom, stopping death is greater than bringing the dead back to life. Yeah. So which means that you not falling sick is greater than it's greater than that you fell sick and then God now heal you. Yeah, so the way they think in the kingdom of God is different from the way humans think, from the way man thinks. Yeah, so I want you to have a mindset of healing, a mindset of health. And you having eternal life such that you don't fall sick because of that eternal life that is in you. I want you to have that mindset than let sickness come. There is God that will heal me. Sickness is not supposed to conquer you in the first place? Then why are you expecting sickness to conquer you before you now cry to God to heal you? God don't want you to fall sick at all. Now, if we look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, Exodus 15, 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So God is saying that he will put none of the diseases that is upon the people of the world, those that don't know him, the unbelievers. God is saying that he will put none of those diseases upon you if you diligently hearken to his voice, if you do what is right in his sight, if you obey his commandments. God said he will give you health and you will not have to fall sick. That is the plan of God for us. In fact, I believe healing is more for the unbelievers. Yeah. I don't think Christians, I mean, I don't think we should have too much Christians on the list of those that are looking for healing. I believe that as Christians grow, they should grow to the point where, that is, if we grow fast, because many Christians, their spiritual growth is too slow, very slow. The level God wants them to have reached in the knowledge of him by now, they are not yet, many Christians are not yet at that level. Yeah, so I believe that as Christians grow spiritually, we will reach a place in God where we will no longer fall sick. Yeah. So I believe that divine healing should be a move of God that will bring sinners onto Christ. That will bring people who are in sin unto Christ. That is when they meet with Jesus and then the power of Jesus heal them and then they surrender their lives to Jesus and become converted and repent of their sins and become saved. I believe divine healing should be more of an advertisement for souls to come into God's kingdom. I believe that those that are in God's kingdom should have grown beyond the level of them even falling sick. There's a realm you will grow into in God and you will not fall sick again. Which means all your sickness would go and then you will no longer fall sick again. Yeah. So at that realm, you will now be the one you will now be the one going to hospitals, going to where sick people are, and lay hands on them and get them healed. Yeah. So if not that something is caused, today we shouldn't have pastors that are sick, ministers of God having cancer, tumors, problems, children of God having serious health problems. Something is wrong with us. It's not right. It's not supposed to be. We are not supposed to be so defeated by sickness to that point. If we have been living right before God, you'll see 25-year-old having leukemia, cancer, a deadly disease 25 years, 30 years. That is a curse upon the body of Christ. We are not supposed to be so defeated by sickness. Yeah, we should be having those kind of sickness in the lives of unbelievers, not believers. Yeah, so much of our problem is sin. Yeah, it's not even sickness. I don't think sickness is our problem. It is sin. And it is because of that sin that we got sicknesses. So if we can live holy, we will have health. Well, we'll still come to that point in our teaching because this program continues. I'll still show you how holiness is connected to health. If we live holy, we will have health. Now, let's move to the next point. The next point is Jesus came to restore all things. Jesus came to restore all things. Don't forget that the title of this short teaching says, Meet the Restorer. That's the title. Meet the Restorer. And Jesus is the Restorer. So Jesus came to restore all things. Let us read John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus came to give us all that sin took away from us, to give them back to us. Jesus came to give back to us all that Satan, through sin, took away from us. Because if we did not sin, Satan would not have access to steal anything from our lives or to destroy our lives. So Jesus came to give back all that Satan and his agents has taken away or have destroyed in our lives. All that they have stolen, Jesus came to give them back. And that is if we will surrender to Jesus. If we will surrender to Jesus and follow Jesus, and please Jesus, and do the will of Jesus, then He will restore our lives. He will restore our lives. He will restore your life to the way it was meant to be. Do you know that many of the functions in our bodies was killed in the Garden of Eden? There's a way your body was created to function that you don't even know. There are a lot of functions in your body that died when Adam died in the Garden of Eden. Though the doctors will tell you that your eyes is organ of sight, your kidney is an organ of filtration. It filters dirty things from the blood, and then you pass urine. The doctors have definition for the organs in our bodies, but God created those organs to do something much more than what doctors or what medical science told us that those organs were meant for. So I believe a lot of things died, even in our bodies, souls, and spirits, when Adam died in the Garden of Eden. So Jesus has come to give back all of that life that died in Eden. Jesus came to give them back to us. Because from the beginning of time, you are a spiritual being. Man is not a physical being. Man is a spiritual being from the beginning. Man was a spirit being. Yeah. Though he has physical body, but he himself was a spirit being. So which means that your body has more of spiritual functions than physical functions. Your body has more of spiritual functions and abilities than physical functions. Yeah, but the medical science will make you feel like you are more of a physical being than a spiritual being. That is not how it was from the beginning. From the beginning, we are more of spirit beings than physical beings. And this body that God has given to us has more function, spiritual functions, spiritual abilities than physical abilities. Yeah, so when you surrender your life to Jesus and you're saying, Jesus, I give you all my life. Be the Lord of my life. I will do what you want. I will live for you and not for myself. I will obey your commandments, your instructions. Then Jesus will begin to give you that life that you have, that you lost in the Garden of Eden. Jesus will give that life back to you. That was why he said, I am come in John chapter 10, verse 10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So he wants to give you life, a kind of life you have never tasted before. So you think you have life, like some people, they have, because they have money, they hardly lack any physical thing. They felt that is life. That is all life is all about. Life is not all about what many people call life. There is more about life, but you will not know until you meet Jesus. And until you surrender to Jesus, that is when you will find real life. There is more about life. You think spending money, that is what life is? No. You think wearing good clothes, eating good food, getting married, having houses, having cars. You think life is just about all the things that is in this world? They are not the life that God gave man from the beginning. They don't even need that life God gave man from the beginning. When you meet Jesus, then you will understand what life is. Because he will give you life, a very rich life. He will give you abundant life. That is when you will understand what life really is. Yeah. Because that life will terminate every darkness in your life. The life that Jesus will give will terminate sicknesses and diseases. It will terminate demons. It will terminate sorrow, pains. Some people, they have a lot, they have everything you can think of in this world. They have everything. But they are in sorrow. They are in pain. They are in fears. Then, what is the essence of all that they have? Yeah. So Jesus will give you life. Now, the last point before we pray. The last point says, nothing heals better and faster than eternal life. Nothing heals better and faster than eternal life. In John 3:16, many of you know that scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, some people think that eternal life in John 3:16 is about you dying on earth and then making heaven. But it's not like that. The eternal life there means that you will have that life immediately you believe Jesus. Immediately you surrender to Jesus. There's an impartation of eternal life that comes into you. And then you live that eternal life till you leave this world. So we are meant to live in eternal life. We are meant to live by eternal life before we even leave this world. So the eternal life in John 3:16 is not talking that is not about that you die here and then you go to heaven. It's not talking about that. It's talking about that you receive a life immediately you give you surrender to Jesus and repent. There's a life that you receive into your spirit. And that life is eternal life. That life will make you live with Jesus forever. That life will make you live on even after you have died in your body on earth. So it is that life that is enough that makes us to still go up to heaven after we have died in the body here on earth. So that is eternal life. And in Romans 8:11, we saw how the Bible said that, maybe I should read it. Romans 8:11. It says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." So the presence of the Holy Spirit inside Christians, inside believers, is the presence of eternal life. Yeah, because that spirit is a life-giving spirit. That spirit is eternal life himself. So the presence of the Holy Ghost in you is eternal life. And then you might be saying, "Well, I've not started to speak in tongues yet. So I don't know if I have the Holy Ghost." Everybody that is a Christian that is born again, that have repented and have been saved from sin by Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, any child of God have the Spirit of God in them. Though they might not have it in fullness, to the point where they function in spiritual gifts or speaking tongues. But the fact that you are a child of God means that you have the Spirit of God in you. And the presence of that Spirit in you is eternal life. Is eternal life. Yeah, it says that, and that is the Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave. So the Bible says that if that Spirit dwells in us, that spirit is able to give life to our mortal bodies. So there is nothing that heals better and faster than eternal life, which you have in you. You have that eternal life in you. If the Spirit of Jesus is in you, if the Spirit of God is in you, if the Holy Spirit is in you, then you have eternal life in you. So all you need is to engage with that life that is in you. Have strong fellowship with God. And then stop living in the flesh. Stop following the desires of your flesh. Follow the desires of your spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. So as you walk in the Spirit, the eternal life that is in you will begin to destroy every poison, every death, every sickness in your bodies. Yeah. So, and that is why prayerful people, people that really pray in the Holy Ghost, they hardly fall sick. Because every time they pray in the Spirit, they get life. And that life destroys sicknesses and diseases. Yeah, some people, it is after they fell sick, they now took prayer seriously. Yeah, you can ask many Christians that are sick presently. Ask about their spiritual life. Ask about their spiritual lives before they fell sick. Many of them will confess to you that their spiritual lives were not okay. As in their relationship with God were not okay before they fell sick. Yeah. So it was after they fell sick, they now began to run. They now begin to go from one prayer mountain to another prayer mountain, from one prayer program to another prayer program. Yeah, seeking for divine touch from God. But they weren't supposed to fall sick in the first place. If they are taking seriously their spiritual lives, their prayer lives, they wouldn't have fallen sick. Yeah, because the eternal life that is in our spirit gives us health every time we live in the Spirit, every time we pray in the Spirit, every time we do spiritual exercises. That eternal life naturally gives us health and healing. Yeah. So a prayerful Christian, a spiritual Christian, we hardly fall sick because of the eternal life that is in our spirit. Yeah. So, I'm going to stop here. And then you will pray just two prayer points. Then I will pray on the water. I'll pray for you and the water that God will use for your healing. Yeah. I want you to take this prayer point. I want you to pray this prayer point. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, I know that I have done many things wrong in your sight. I know that in many ways I have not been consistent with my relationship with you. Say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me and receive me and restore everything the enemy have taken away from me. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Oh Lord, I acknowledge that I have done a lot of things wrong in your sight. I acknowledge that I have not been consistent with living right in your sight. I have not been consistent with the the standard of your word, the standard of your righteousness, the standard of your holiness and purity. Oh Lord, please forgive me. Show me mercy. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Show me mercy. And restore everything my sins have taken away from me. Everything Satan, because of my sins, have taken away from me. Everything the powers of darkness, the agents of darkness, have stolen away from me. Lord Jesus, receive me now and restore them. Restore me, Lord Jesus. Restore me, Lord Jesus. Restore me, Lord Jesus, to the way I am supposed to be. Restore my spirit to the way it's supposed to be. Restore my soul to the way it's supposed to be. Restore my body to the way it's supposed to be. Restore me, Jesus, to the way I am supposed to be, according to your design in Eden, according to how you designed man to be in the Garden of Eden. Restore me, Jesus. Show me mercy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. The second prayer point, you're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, breathe upon me that breath of life you breathed in Garden of Eden that made man a living being. Oh Lord, I need that breath a second time. Say, Lord Jesus, breathe into me. Breathe into me. You are the life giver. You are the giver of life. That breath that gave Adam life in Eden. Say, Lord Jesus, I need that breath the second time. I need that breath now. Thank you, Lord. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Breathe that life into me. Lord Jesus, you are the life giver. You are the life giver. You are the life giver. You said in John chapter 10 verse 10 that you have come to give me life. You are the life giver, Lord Jesus. Breathe that life into me right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's happening to you right now as you are saying those words. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening right now. It's happening to your spirit, to your soul, and to your body. So, Lord Jesus, breathe that life into me now. I want to live. Though Adam died in Eden, I don't want to remain in that death. I want to live. I want to live. Lord Jesus, breathe that life into me and make me live again. Make me live above sicknesses, above diseases, above sin, above darkness. Make me live again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The presence of God is here. I mean, of course, His presence is always with us. But I'm talking about the presence of God that does miracles is here. And I don't want you to doubt. Because I have been blessed. Even myself, I have been blessed already. And you can be blessed. Release your faith. Don't doubt. So I want you to hold that water in your hands as I pray right now. Yeah. Hold in your hands the water that God wants to use. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for your power in this place. Thank you for your dominion, for your authority in this place. Thank you for your fire in this place. Thank you for your mighty hand that is upon your people right now, in those places they are right now. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, for restoration that comes through your death and resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be glorified, be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that according to your mercy, begin to touch everyone right now where they are and begin to restore their lives. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your power enter into the water your people have presented before you right now. Let your healing power possess these waters right now in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let your healing fire possess these waters right now in the name of Jesus. Let your healing presence possess this water right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, by this water, let any disease disappear in the name of Jesus. By this water, let any captivity of sin and sickness and demons break in pieces in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, by this water your people have presented to you, let every work of the devil that have been done in their lives be destroyed. Let every work of witchcraft that has been done against them be destroyed. Lord Jesus, move through this water, even to heal people that are not here in this program. Move through this water to heal them. Whether they are in the hospitals or they have been told they have few days to live, or they have been told that their sicknesses cannot be healed. Oh Lord, through this water, heal such people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Remain blessed in Jesus' name.